Welcome to Raw, where we hear true, unfiltered stories from real women in the actuarial profession. For the next half hour, you get to hear stories, advice, and all the latest tea from some of the industry's best and brightest. Wondering how the highest paid women asked for raises, how they became the first woman in their company C-suite, how allies can help them on their journeys. Get it all directly from the women who've lived it. This is Raw. Hello, listeners. Today, I'm joined by Alexis Stevens, who is the Chief Actuary for Assurant Incorporated. She oversees an evolving operating model of global actuarial support across Assurant's businesses and functions. Alexa was born in Cuba and migrated to the U.S. at the early age of 7. She graduated magna cum laude from Florida International University with a Bachelor of Science in Mathematics and a minor in Statistics. She is a Fellow of the Society of Actuaries, a member of the American Academy of Actuaries, a chartered enterprise risk analyst, and has been working as an actuary for 30 years. Welcome, Alexa.
Very lucky and very grateful to be part of the podcast today. So thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, we're super happy to have you. Okay, so we'll start you off with our first question that we ask all of our interviewees. How did being a woman influence your career as an actuary?
All right, so maybe I'll start with a little bit of background first, and you mentioned it in your introduction, Lizzie. You said that I was originally from Cuba, and you're right, I did come at an early age. And so always really been super thankful for the opportunity to, I would say, learn and get an education. So getting an education is very important to my parents, to my family. They didn't have that, you know, opportunity. And, you know, growing up, I was just always really good at math. So math was something that I was good at. I started at an early age and all through the university. And, you know, even when I was in the university, it was a lot of what I did not want to do more than what I knew I wanted to do. But it was in my third year of college where I actually even learned what an actuary was. And I say that because I was sitting there in my linear algebra class thinking about what is it that I'm going to do? And my professor mentioned it. And I had the opportunity at that time to speak to his wife, who actually worked as an actuary in the first company that I worked for, which is, you know, Assurant. And it was perfect. It sounded like the exact combination of technical and business skills all wrapped up into one. And so I would say that my decision to become an actuary really stems more from my love of math and the career appeal that it had itself, more than being a woman. But then, you know, as being a woman, I've been really fortunate to work in a company that over time has really maintained a pretty even split of men, women, I guess, across the department over time.
Yeah, that's funny. I had a very similar experience in terms of not knowing what an actuary was until a lot later in my education. I don't think it's a super well advertised career.
I agree with that. And so one of the things that I do now in terms of, you know, paying it forward a little bit is I actually do go to universities local here in Miami at time to talk about the actuarial profession. There have been a few actuaries within our department over the years who heard from me and learned about the career through me. And so I definitely try to ensure that folks are learning about it at a much earlier age, I guess.
Yeah. It's super cool that your company has maintained a really good gender split. When you go and give those talks at universities, do you find the gender split there is also pretty even, or is it imbalanced one way or the other?
That's a really good point. I think being from Miami and having such diversity within Miami, usually when I go to the universities, the diversity is pretty broad. And, you know, even when I started, I'm not going to date myself, but even when I started at Assurant many years ago, we had at the time a life department and a P&C department, and one was headed by a woman and one was headed by a man. And I am now the chief actuary for sure. And I'm a woman, and the chief actuary before me was also a woman. And so, you know, over time, I think, you know, that certainly has played a big role, but also the support of different mentors, peers, bosses over time, in ensuring that we have the right level of growth and development throughout our journey.
Yeah, that's really cool to also have women higher up in leadership positions too. I think a lot of people who I talk to will experience kind of even genders as like a starting position actuary. But then as they sort of climb the ladder in leadership, it thins out and it's more male dominated. But it sounds like for you, there was also a decent amount of women in leadership roles too.
Yeah. And I think it's more about the skill set. So we have a pretty strong student program, rotation process, development program. And I think that has provided an even opportunities across the board for everybody to really build those abilities. But more than just technical, one of the things that we really focus on and emphasize are those softer skills. In terms of communication and storytelling, it's becoming super important. And I'm seeing like the evolution of that being more critical in the workplace. And as actuaries, we are even more effective when we can communicate the complex in a clear manner without really overlooking the important points, because we're always like, oh, these exceptions, right? And we get it, but we also want to make sure that we're being purposeful, intentional about how we communicate and making sure that we have those insights. And I think over time, we have focused more around that, given that we have so much education already around the technical piece of it.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Did you participate in a rotation program yourself?
I did. Over time, I would say that while it may seem unusual, and I wanted to bring this up, for me to be in the same company for 30 years, my experience is probably more diverse than many. I say that because not only has the company transformed over time, right? So that's definitely been a, you know, a constant. But what I would have to say is that I have had the opportunity to do not just traditional work across all, you know, levels in terms of pricing, reserving, product development, modeling, but also a broad spectrum of products, life, health, P&C. So while it's been in the same company, I would say that it's probably a combination of 15 different roles over time. So I definitely have rotated, and I actually rotated outside of the actuarial department for a small time period as well into business finance, where that's where really honed in my skill sets in storytelling and really trying to, you know, get better at those softer skills.
Yeah, that's really cool. Tell me more about rotating outside of actuarial. What was that experience like?
It was probably one of the hardest rotations I've had. And the reason I say that, it's because I had to flex a muscle that was a little bit different than what I was used to, right? So the great thing is that it reminds you to like think about what your strengths are. You know what you're good at, you know what your strengths, and you know what you can bring to the table. And then kind of being open to coming into an area where there were other subject matter experts at things that you had not done before, but asking the right questions became super important. And so my thought process around what are those questions that I need to ask? So yeah, I'm not the subject matter expert today or in this particular topic or subject, but through that, I was able to like learn quickly and really add value where it was most beneficial and important. And so that really kind of helped me, I don't know, like grow in a bit of a different way. And it was super useful when I came back into the actuarial team to lead the entire department as chief actuary. And so I think that's my experience there.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I do think it's a lot more rare nowadays to find people who've stayed with the same company for 30 years. So that's really special.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree that it is definitely unusual. And for me, it's been actually the opposite when I say the message to other folks, because like I said, I've had the opportunity to work in so many diverse different areas and really product lines that I feel like I've actually had many rotations over my career.
Yeah. So you think you kind of continued that trend as you climbed the corporate ladder, so to speak, and continued kind of shifting to different areas to broaden your perspective of insurance as you moved up?
Yeah, when I started, I worked on universal life insurance, whole life. Over time, I've had experience with credit insurance. I've had experience with warranty. I've had experience with traditional P&C products. I've done health products, and I've done actuarial work within all of those. So I could actually, do a little bit of all of it. But the good thing is that it's really not about the product itself. it's around your skill sets. And then if you think about your skill sets, again, you know, coming back to asking the right questions, making sure that you understand the risks, making sure that you understand everything. And maybe a little anecdote, like as an actuary, the way I see it is, I think we have an amazing role to play because we get to see everything from beginning to end. So the understanding of an actuary to really connect the dots, understand not just from the inception, how a product is sold, to whom, the consumers, their behaviors, but then all the way to the end, to when you're setting the reserves and those conversations with claims and understanding the trends and everything else. So we have this great, unique opportunity to really have to understand our product from the beginning all the way to its very end. And to me, that's one of the most fascinating things about the career and one of the areas of why I love it so much. And it really, piqued my interest from early on when I learned about it.
Yeah. After you finished your formal rotation program, where you sort of had other people picking different areas of the company for you to work in, how did you continue to sort of foster your own? It kind of sounds like you constructed your own rotation program for yourself, right? Like you kept working in different areas and getting a myriad of different viewpoints. How did you do that outside of the rotation program and just like for yourself in your career?
So we don't have a formal rotation program in that we don't say you're going to be doing these roles over time. It's more opportunistic. So the rotation program exists, but what we normally tend to do, at least within our company, is to say, if you've been in your role for more than, 1.5 years and and somebody leaves and an opportunity becomes available, you have the opportunity to rotate into that program. Or somebody might come to their manager and say, I've been in pricing for a couple of years. I'd love to rotate into reserving. And so we keep that in mind through discussions that we have with our employees regularly, and then they can rotate into that role. It's not necessarily formal, like you start here and then you move over there, but we make sure as leaders that we're providing opportunities internally to our staff as opportunities evolve. Does that make sense?
That's so interesting. Yeah. I didn't realize that because the companies I've worked for, it's always been like a very formal, like you're going to do 6 months in pricing and then 6 months in auto and then 6 months in reserving. And like, that's just kind of the path you follow. But it's really interesting to hear. It's kind of more of a culture of like, we encourage you to move around as you can.
I think that's a great way to put it. It's more of a culture and encouraging to move around and having those intentional conversations about career progressions with our staff and making sure that they become aware of opportunities as they evolve. And as I mentioned, if there's org changes as well too, because we are, changing reporting lines, then it also, allows for opportunities for different talent to move and have those opportunities.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Do you think that contributes at all to the gender balance you experience because it is equal opportunity for anybody, for everybody?
That's what I would, that's my theory, because it does really, it doesn't really have anything to do with, your gender, right? Like being a man or a woman, it's more about your skill sets and the opportunities. And we do provide them equally across the board. So we're not picking one person necessarily and carrying them through a journey, but then not the other person. So these opportunities become available and we publish them broadly and folks have opportunities to take them or not, and also raise their hand ahead of time. So it becomes more of a proactive approach where you're talking to your manager and say, hey, look, I've been in the corporate area maybe for a few years now. I'd love to do a little bit of pricing. So if anything comes up into that role, keep me in mind. And we certainly do that.
That's really interesting as we start talking about like systems that might support both genders more equitably, because I think a theme that's come up in many of my interviews with women is that women are not often socialized to like take leaps and like advocate for themselves. And often leaders don't think to give women those opportunities and like challenge them. So to exist in a culture rather that encourages everyone to do that, it's really interesting that the output of that has been more of a gender balance.
Yeah, no, I do think it's definitely a strong contributor to it. And we're always looking for ways to you know, evolve it and make it better. And, you know, we had to pivot a little bit because we were more in person before COVID, and now we're more virtual. So we continue to enhance it, and we actually refreshed it and did a new formalized version last year that we launched because of that, because we're always, it's a living, breathing document. It keeps up evolving, and it really, it needs to stand the test of time and be relevant, right? And so it definitely is part of our culture. And you said it the best.
That's really cool. Pivoting a little bit, but I'm just kind of curious if you wanted to talk at all about moving here from Cuba and what that experience was like.
So that's an interesting, I remember very little before the age of 7. So I do think it was a bit of a shock for me. And my mom always tells me that I was the type of person who knew everything, right? And so I think it was my beginning of being comfortable with the uncomfortable, being in a classroom where I was the only one who spoke Spanish. And I say that not because there weren't programs. So when I first came, there were these ESOL programs, and these were programs that would help non-English speaking students kind of merge into the, you know, into the English speaking culture, and they put you in special classes. But I have a teacher who said, you're not going to go to those special classes, you're going to stay in the class with me. And she only spoke to me in English. So for a whole year, I was in a classroom where everybody was talking to me in English. And I think at first I did not understand anything, but she would like repeat it to me when I wanted to do something, because she did understand Spanish, as to how I had to say it. And so it was a little bit hard at first, but I would say that it was super helpful. It was super helpful to have that teacher support me in that way, because it helped me learn the English language faster.
Yeah. Do you feel like that also maybe set you up a little bit to, in your career, be more comfortable with the uncomfortable and like pivoting to different things and challenging yourself?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with the uncomfortable, and I'm comfortable making the decisions more for myself, right? Like, so growing up, I wasn't always, didn't always fit in to the more popular like groups, but I never saw it as a downside. Like, I was just very comfortable with being myself and kind of, you know, following my own path. And I was very focused on what I wanted to do. And I was, you know, studying was very important to me, like I said, and getting an education and career, because that's what my parents came here for and brought me here for. So I've been so focused on that it hasn't really mattered so much whether the people around me believed it or not. I just knew that I was always going to try my best to accomplish that. So,
yeah, that's awesome. Well, this has been a really cool interview, Alexa. I love how your childhood kind of fed into your career, and you've challenged yourself, and it sounds like your company is super supportive of its associates in a way that is really fostering a culture of diversity and inclusion, which is amazing. So I'm going to pivot us into the last question of the interview. What is one raw piece of advice for women actuaries that you want to share?
One piece of advice I would share is to always remind yourself of your superpower and trust your experience. Each of us can add value in different ways. And just trust yourself, trust your instinct, and always have your superpower. And if I could just add one more thing to the end, because I think this is very important to me, always be great at everything you do, no matter how small it may seem. I have taken each and every opportunity, small and large, and been really thankful. And, you know, I have an opportunity to pay it forward, but just, you know, do your best at everything, no matter how small it may seem.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great advice. Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard today, you can join NAWA to get all our latest podcasts and resources for empowering women actuaries at nawaactuaries.org. That's nawaactuaries.org. Our music is Divertimento in G by Haydn, performed by Lindley Baker. And our logo was designed by Haley Osterkorn, both women actuaries. If you're a woman actuary or ally who wants to get involved with our show, you can email us directly at ally@nawaactuaries.org. That's ally@nawaactuaries.org.